Our next speaker is Nick Meacham, Deputy Chief Executive of Salmon Trout Conservation, and he will be speaking on the topic of Ted Hughes' poetic electrons and the salmon's freshwater habitats.
Basically on water quality and water, how we try to measure it. Just following on from Ken's lead, in terms of my own background and fascination with fishing and water, it began as a small child in industrial West Midlands, where an appreciation of water quality was critical for survival as much as anything else. And it all developed from that. Well, this is, I've been asked to keep things relatively tight to allow for the next speaker. These are some words from Ted Hughes talking about insects, and what I'm going to talk about is how we use invertebrates to calibrate and measure water quality, and how, on the back of that sort of work, that data, we've been managing to affect change in a modest way in some of the rivers that we've heard about this morning, in particular the chalk streams of the south of England. And just so you know, I managed to find a quote from somebody called Mark Wormold, apparently knows a little bit about Ted Hughes, that his poems are a vision of ecological interconnection. Indeed they are, but as I'd like to contend, the interconnection is not just visionary, it's like so much of Ted's work, rooted in hard scientific fact. And water quality, we've heard from others about the issues at sea, and the critical importance of that phase of salmon's life. But water quality now is being increasingly recognised as extremely important, as a major driver in supporting nature's hatchery. We don't know all of the answers, but we do know that the productivity of nature's hatchery, as Emma says, the number of eggs to deliver returning salmon has requirements more than doubled in a very short space of time. And water quality and in-river issues are now being seen as a potential limiting factor. But until now, it's one of those factors that has tended to be, I don't think, given enough currency. And that little booklet is a fantastic read on water quality. It was actually produced by the Atlantic Salmon Trust, and I suspect Ken may well have had a hand in it. So, what's going on with what we sort of loosely term water quality? Well, in a relatively simple way of looking at things, the Industrial Revolution produced gross pollution, particularly around the mouths of rivers, and that's largely been cleaned up. The River Tyne is a case in point. And what's happened is that the issues that fish face have shifted to more subtle but ultimately lethal impacts stemming from sewage treatment works, agriculture, and so on. And the issue is that the exposure of young salmon and trout to these impacts leads to stress. There's some evidence that the production of smolts is resulting in smaller fish, and so on. And one concern that we have with that is that it's their environment has deteriorated. And what we've done is we've used invertebrates to inform us about water quality and water quality change. Each invertebrate species has a unique tolerance to different types of water pollution. So the community of these insects is moulded by the water passing them. And from that, from taking a sample, analysing it to species level, you can build a very precise picture of what's happening to water quality at a particular point in time. It's also an extremely effective technique for getting that general picture. It's relatively inexpensive. And this is how the code is unlocked. There's a 3-minute kick sweep sample with a 1-minute hand search. That's step one. There's an example of somebody doing their sampling. You kick the gravel to loosen the insects and then collect it in that downstream net. I think you've got the idea. Step two is analysing the catch, and this is the key to unlocking the power of the information locked in the sample. So you work away, and you produce a list of all the the insects by species, and you put them into a calculator, and you can calibrate across a range of indices to actually measure what those insects are telling you about water quality. And just the pointer. So there you've got your insects analysed down to species level. And on this side, we've got a number of different charts which are showing you the impacts of certain pollutants on those on those insect samples. And typically we measure five. There's organic pollution, which tends, in a lot of the work we're doing, not to be a big issue. There's nutrients, phosphates, agricultural runoff is a big factor. Sediment is a huge factor. Pesticides are also extremely worrying development. And the final thing you can measure from the insects is river flow, velocity. And that is particularly relevant to some of the lower energy systems such as the chalk stream. So there you are, you've got your picture of what's going on. Now the question is, what the hell do you do with all this data when you've got it? Well, what we did, we carried out a three-year program for the river fly census, sampling twice a year on a number of rivers. The total number of rivers that were sampled now numbers about 20. And basically, we were trying to do this to get two things. One was a high-resolution water quality benchmark for the rivers that we were sampling. So we got a picture of the state of things now. And the second thing was then pinpointing what the main pressures facing those water bodies actually are. So we're writing tomorrow's history. And one of the problems we found, is that past history in terms of invertebrate sampling is pretty patchy. Where we have it, we have seen dramatic declines in species richness and diversity, particularly on the southern chalk streams. But as I say, that history is sadly lacking. One of the great results of this work will be to provide that benchmark, that history for tomorrow. So the outcomes, we analysed 34,000 organisms from more than 480 different species. You can read all that. We came up with 8 national water policy recommendations, which are set out in our report, and some of them relate, not unsurprisingly, about improving monitoring, which is being effectively dismantled by the Environment Agency under the pressure of cuts. And we've taken those reports, and we're working with local river organisations. And the final point is that the database is growing. The outcomes in terms of pressures, these were the three main culprits. Sediment, fine sediments leaching into rivers from the now industrialised agriculture that takes place across most of our countryside. Phosphorus, again leaching into rivers, accompanied by sediment. Again, industrialised farming, and chemicals. And the chemicals, the signatures we're getting, the strong pesticide signatures in a surprising number of areas. And although some of that has been documented by various studies, what our study is actually doing is actually tying together the presence of chemicals with environmental harm, which in a number of cases, chemical analysis doesn't necessarily give you that information. Now, what I wanted to shift to was, we've talked a little bit already about the importance of chalk stream salmon. The upper Itchen, and this might seem a rather parochial issue, but it isn't. It's a study of national significance. The River Itchen is as highly protected a river system as any in the British Isles. And we were treating it as an interesting case study. We felt there were a lot of environmental issues facing the river, and indeed our sampling pulled a lot of that out. And this is what picture of what you'd expect to see in the upper reaches of the chalk stream. Beautiful clean gravels, healthy weeds, but this is what we found. This is the bed of a stream just down the headwaters of the River Itchen, downstream from a major wet watercress farm and, importantly, a major salad washing plant. And there were two things that had concerned us. We'd had the evidence, the overnight factory wash. They'd cleaned the factory down every night, and they were discharging a whole load of chemicals straight into the river, which formed very nasty things called chloramines, which are toxic to invertebrate life. And we were also concerned about the daytime washing, which the great claim was it's a water-only wash. Wow. The problem with that was that the leaves are covered in pesticides. They're grown in various parts of the world, Morocco, southern Spain, States of America. And in order to grow those crops, they need, in those environments, they need to be heavily dosed with pesticides. So what did we do? These results led us to complain to the, well, we had many discussions with the local EIA. They've been extremely helpful in this process. So we put in a technical complaint under environmental damage regulations. And what has happened since? Well, in March 2019, Bakkafor stopped using chlorine products to clean the factory. So the chemicals now are pretty safe. Their phosphate content is much lower, and as I say, they are not making. There's no chlorine derivatives in them. In June, it took a year, but nonetheless, it did happen. In June, the EA reported its findings. It had to look into our. The beauty of the EDR complaint is that it forces the Environment Agency to investigate the problem. And we found that sewage, they have a septic tank system at the factory, and pesticides were potentially threatening aquatic life. The sewage is now tankered away and is unlikely. I think it's almost a zero probability that any discharge of sewage will restart into the upper river will restart. The other interesting point I've touched on, which is really important, the potential threat from pesticides. A number of pesticides were found, some of which were coming out of the groundwater, but in particular there were a number of neonicotinoids which were not, and they were present and being washed off the leaves and being washed into the river. We persuaded the environment, before I come jump onto this slide, we have now persuaded the Environment Agency to take not only local but also to take national action on this issue of pesticides, in the discharge of pesticides into rivers. So there are a couple of problems. One is it's taking place at all. The second problem is that, and it's a slightly more complicated issue, is that a number of these pesticides, and we don't know the full answer to them yet, but they enter into the environment over a period of time, and they build up, and we don't know enough about those chronic effects, or about the low-level effects, again, the sublethal effects on the environment. But the Environment Agency has now agreed nationally to start to make changes to its permitting process in order to take account of this. So where do we head in the future in protecting our rivers? And it's absolutely critical to us that we get as wide an interest group as possible. That's one of the things that motivated this conference, is to get people together from many different parts of the world, different cultural perspectives and so on, because a narrow group of fishermen won't themselves solve many of these problems. And why I'm really excited about this programme, what we're doing is we took the River Fly Census and said, how do we take that and franchise it? How do we get it out there across the country? We don't have the resources as an organisation to do that. So we went into the volunteer route, and I'm extremely proud to say that that's now really, really coming together. And this is one of the groups of people. These are guys on the River Ribble system, taking the samples, doing their analysis, and reporting the data back to us so that we can then use that evidence and turn it into action if and when we need to. Got my two-minute warning. Right, okay. So this is the Smart Rivers framework, the benchmarking, the training, the data crunching. And I hope a number of you here will be pestering us afterwards to find out more about this programme. We're growing it rapidly. It's one of our major activities. And interestingly, it's not just the south of England. We are about to have, next year, our first Smart Rivers Hub on the River Halladale in Scotland, the Flow Rivers Trust, who are really interested to understand the impact of water quality in their river system. They've got a couple of feeder burns. Some of them are absolutely spanking good in terms of their smolt production. Others are much less good, and they're not entirely sure what that reason is. Hopefully, we will be able to answer that. Okay. I'll now hand over to Martin.